God did not answer Job's questions, except with himself. He did not unravel the mysteries. He simply presented the mystery of who he was.
Do you want to be happy today? The Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding. But it warns us that wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Elizabeth Elliot has spent decades helping women understand the wisdom of the Bible. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Be challenged to live wisely as you hear once again from your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot talking with you this time about God with us. Maybe you remember that is one of God's names. Emmanuel means God with us. And we've been thinking about that suffering man, Job. In verse 1 of chapter 41 of the book of Job, God says to Job, "Can you pull out the whale with a gaff? Or can you slip a noose round its tongue? Can you pass a cord through its nose or put a hook through its jaw? Will it plead with you for mercy or beg its life with soft words? Will it enter into an agreement with you or become your slave for life? Will you toy with it as with a bird or keep it on a string like a songbird for your maidens? Do trading partners haggle over it or merchants share it out?" And God did not answer Job's questions, except with himself. He did not unravel the mysteries. He simply presented the mystery of who he was. You realize that Job didn't have any of the New Testament. Job didn't have any idea that God was ever going to become a man and suffer as he himself had suffered. Job had no idea of the Word made flesh. At Christmas time, we think of the name Emmanuel, God with us. In the first chapter of John, we read, "When all things began, the Word already was. The Word dwelt with God, and what God was, the Word was." Another translation says, "The Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Word then was with God at the beginning, and through him all things came to be. We've been thinking about creation. Who was it that created? Well, it was the Word. And we know from the New Testament that Christ is the Word. All things came to be through him. No single thing was created without him. All that came to be was alive with his life. And that life was the light of men. The light shines on in the dark, and the darkness has never mastered it. Then we read these words, "He was in the world, but the world, though it owed its being to him, did not recognize him. He entered his own realm, and his own would not receive him. But to all who did receive him, to those who have yielded him their allegiance, he gave the right to become children of God." Let me read that again. "To all who did receive him, to those who have yielded him their allegiance, he gave the right to become children of God, not born of any human stock or by the fleshly desire of a human father, but the offspring of God himself. So the Word became flesh. He came to dwell among us, and we saw his glory, such glory as befits the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth." Just think that the one who created the sea monsters and the sun and the spider and the clam and the Scotty dog, that one became a man, came into the world, and was rejected. They say that about Christmas, the reason for the season is Jesus. That's true. Christmas means Christ Mass, the time when we commemorate that the Word was made flesh. In the first chapter of Hebrews, first few verses, we read, "When in former times God spoke to our forefathers, he spoke in fragmentary and varied fashion through the prophets. But in this final age, he has spoken to us in the Son, whom he has made heir to the whole universe, and through whom he created all orders of existence. The Son, who is the effulgence of God's splendor and the stamp of God's very being, and sustains the universe by the word of his power. When he had brought about the purgation of sins, he took his seat at the right hand of the Majesty on high, raised as far above the angels as the title he has inherited is superior to theirs. God becoming a man, all the myths of the world became true in the sense that the greatest myth, the most unbelievable thing, God coming down to earth, actually happened. When I use that word myth, I may confuse some people, but it's C.S. Lewis that said that the message of Christianity is the true myth, the one in which all the others find their culmination. It's about what actually did happen. And perhaps the most beautiful expression that I have ever come across of what really took place in this incarnation, this becoming flesh, which God did when he came to earth. The most beautiful expression I know is a 17th century poem written by a man named Richard Crashaw. And I'm going to read you that poem today by way of an attempt to get across what really took place. That the great angel-blinding light should shrink his blaze to shine in a poor shepherd's eye. That the unmeasured God so low should sink as prisoner in a few poor rags to lie. That from his mother's breast he milk should drink, who feeds with nectar heaven's fair family. That a vile manger his low bed should prove, who in a throne of stars thunders above. That he whom the sun serves should faintly peep through clouds of infant flesh. That he, the old eternal word, should be a child and weep. That he who made the fire should fear the cold. That heaven's high majesty his court should keep in a clay cottage, by each blast controlled. That glory's self should serve our griefs and fears, and free eternity submit to years. Let our overwhelming wonder be. That's by Richard Crashaw. I'd like to go back over it a little bit because if you're anything like me, you find that poetry is so profound you have to read it again and again and again. It distills the deepest essence of truth. Poetry says for us what we can hardly say for ourselves, and that's my excuse for giving you so much of it in these talks. Very often I find in poetry just what I've been desperately trying to say, trying to put into words, and I can't begin to do it as these great poets. But here are these words of Richard Crashaw's, that the great angel-blinding light should shrink his blaze to shine in a poor shepherd's eye. You remember the story in Luke, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The great angel-blinding light is Christ. But he shrank that blaze, a blaze capable of blinding even the eyes of angels. He shrank it to shine in a poor shepherd's eye. That the unmeasured God, the one that we've been talking about, who designed the universe, the architect, the controller of all things, the one who is in charge, the origin, the original, the one who understands the mysteries, the one who has authority, he is this unmeasured God that Crashaw writes about, as prisoner in a few poor rags to lie. That baby was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Undoubtedly a few poor rags, because we're fairly sure that his parents, that his mother Mary and his earthly father Joseph we're poor people, and that the one who feeds with nectar heaven's fair family, from his mother's breast he milk should drink. Think of the narrowing down, the humiliation, the limitation placed upon him who fed heaven's fair family with nectar, that he should be dependent on nourishment from a human mother, that a vile manger his low bed should prove, the one who in a throne of stars thunders above. Isn't that a marvelous phrase? Who in a throne of stars thunders above. And that he should actually take upon himself the form of a human baby, he who made the sun, he whom the sun serves, should faintly peep through clouds of infant flesh. That he, the old eternal word, he was there at the beginning. That he should be a child and weep.
As Elizabeth Elliot has said, anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. She's been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.